great to be back at St Nick's. Thank you, Will, for your warm welcome. Mum and Dad send their love. They were in our church this morning, that's why, so I can bring greetings to him from them. St John wrote this: to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? Maybe you want a party. We moved from Oxford to the Cotswolds a couple of years ago, and it's very sociable. Party time happening in the Cotswolds. In fact, last night in our village hall, which from time to time has turned into a pub, there was a strictly final party. Come on, Stacey. What? How good was that? When Swanee went down, I was all for Stacey. I was totally for Stacey. Of course, I was for Swanee all the way through to then, but from then on, Stacey. And great, thank you all for voting for her, because she was fourth, wasn't she? Sorry, some of you recorded it. We're going to watch it tonight, weren't you? No, it's sports personality tonight. You've got that recorded, haven't you? All right, you'll be all right. I really enjoy a party. I'm a gregarious sort of person, so I enjoy a party. And we get, like I'm sure many of you do, invitations at this time of year. Invitations require a response, RSVP. Actually, really sensible people now put not only RSVP, but they put an address, a telephone number, an email address, and more or less everything else. Because, as we all know, the younger generation are not nearly as good at replying to invitations as we were. And it's just true. It is just true. Vast numbers of people don't reply to weddings even. Anyway, there you go. Tonight, there is an invitation. And sensible people make it easy to respond to an invitation. And I'm in the business here of offering you an invitation. Perhaps though you don't want so much a party, perhaps you're looking more forward to a present at Christmas. It's always slightly worrying when you come to a church you don't know, when you try and tell a joke, because you're never quite sure who's been there before and whose jokes they've copied before you get there. But I want to tell you about a small boy who really wanted a mountain bike for Christmas. And I'm looking around to see how many of you have heard this before. A little boy really wanted a mountain bike for Christmas as his present. And on Christmas Eve, he was sitting in his room and he wrote, "Dear Lord Jesus," on a bit of paper he had beside his bed. He said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've been good for a whole year. Please give me a mountain bike." And then he thought back over the year, as perhaps you will do over the next few days as we get to the end of the year. And he thought, it's not really true that I've been good for a whole year. So he wrote, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've been good for a month. Please give me a mountain bike." Then he thought back over the month and he said, "I'm not even sure that's true. Dear Lord Jesus, I've been good for a week. Please give me a mountain bike." And then he thought, "Oh, what happened on Tuesday? That wasn't good. Dear Lord Jesus, I've been good today. Please give me a mountain bike." And then he remembered what he had said to his mum at lunchtime. And he thought, there's no way, if this is how it works, he's going to get a mountain bike. So he waited until mum and dad went to bed. And when they were fast asleep, he crept down into the sitting room. There was a Christmas tree, of course, there. And in the beginning Christian family, they put a little crib scene up in the windowsill. So he grabbed the figure of Mary, climbed back up to his stairs, put Mary on his desk, and he wrote, "Dear Lord Jesus, if you want to see your mother again..." I told that here before. They must have done well. I can't believe it. Oh, well, there you go. Of course, we don't really know why we give presents at Christmas. Some people give presents, we think it's because the wise men bought gifts. Others think it's because of God's gift to us, of Jesus, to all who received him, who received this great gift. But we do give presents. So Christmas is about presents and it is about parties, but it's also much more about this wonderful invitation that we've been singing about. And I want to pass that invitation on to you this evening. To reply to this invitation, you don't need to send an RSVP. You don't need to remember your password for your laptop. You don't have to remember where you put your mobile phone, which you've lost again. You just have to say yes. You just have to say yes. One of the most famous religious paintings in the world, religious image in the world, is Holman Hunt's painting of the light of the world. One of the original copies of that is in the chapel of my old college in Oxford, Keble College. And it depicts the risen Christ. Some of you will be very familiar with it. It depicts the risen Christ standing at a door overgrown with ivy, and he's knocking. And the picture illustrates a very famous verse in the Bible, from the book of Revelation, where Jesus is saying to all of us, "Here I am, standing at the door, knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person." And one contemporary poet of our time put it like this, and it's going to be read for us. Thank you, Chris.
When the night is deep with the sense of Christmas, an expectancy hangs heavy on every breath. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the floor is knee-deep in discarded wrapping paper, and the new books are open at page one, and the new toys are already broken, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the family is squashed elbow to elbow around the table, and the furious rush for food is over, and the only word that can describe the feeling is full, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when Christmas is over, and the television's silent for the first time in 2 days, and who sent which card to whom is forgotten until next year, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when the nation has finished celebrating Christmas without Christ, a birthday without a birth, the coming of a kingdom without a king, forgotten, despised, rejected, crucified, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
By any estimation, we live in uncertain times. Nobody seems quite sure what is going to happen next, and I'm not just thinking of Brexit, but a number of other great uncertainties in the world. In fact, we're having a collection for homeless shows that there is a great need, even here in relatively prosperous South Newbury, there is a great need to help those who are homeless. We have a feeling, I think, that things are changing, but we're not quite sure how they're going to end up. And change creates anxiety for many people, justifiable anxiety, perhaps, you might think, as some of the world's best known and most powerful leaders seem to be highly unpredictable at best. Into this world, knocking at the door of our lives, comes one announcing that he is bringing peace on earth. That was the message to the shepherds. And you might be thinking, well, there's not much sign of it, really. But the fact is that tonight, as we celebrate here in Newbury, millions of people all around the world will go to bed, maybe some in four-poster bed luxury, but many on the damp floor of a slum. And despite personal grief and sadness, and despite the global uncertainties and our national uncertainties, millions will have peace in their hearts because they have said yes to the one who knocks on the door. I want you to hear from one person. This is a poem that a person in my church in Oxford wrote a year or two ago. She was a young mum who had a history of a mild promiscuity. She had become depressed and suffered and was involved in self-harming. She had even for a while gone through what looked to be a period of almost like demon possession. She had had a tough time, and she wrote this poem, and Rosemary's going to read that for us.
Crouching in the corner of my dark and dreary room, I thought I heard the voice of God whispering in the gloom. "Trust me, child. I love you so. Please believe it's true. There's something so much better that I have in mind for you. I understand you're angry, hurt, and feeling so alone. But let me take you by the hand and gently lead you home. Let me collect your tears, each one's like precious gold to me, as are all your words and thoughts and dreams and things you hear and see. I know about your guilt and shame. I know about your sin. Just take my hand and let me know that you want me to come in. I'll lead you out into the light, out of this dim, dark cell. I'll show you how to love again and wipe out fear as well. But first you have to trust me and open up the door and let me heal the places that I know were hurt before. There may be times you feel alone and think you'll never get through, but those are the times you'll need me most, and I'll be carrying you. So I tentatively reached out my hand towards the hand of God, and it didn't feel like I thought it would. It didn't seem strange or odd. There was just an enormous sense of relief and a peace that filled my heart. I knew my past had been washed away, and this really was a new start. Then I thought I felt the hand of God slowly slipping from mine, and so I cried out loud, "Please hold me tight. Please, God, just don't let go." But he had to let go for a moment, so the extent of his love could be shown, as he wrapped his arms around me and said, "At last, my child, you've come home."
So we can be pretty certain that the future is uncertain. Uncertain in the big scale, uncertain in our own lives. We don't know what lies around the corner. We may well prosper post-Brexit. We may emerge safely from the Trump era, but we may not. The sensationally rapid abandonment of many of the assumed moral standards of yesterday may be reversed, but it may not be, and the trajectory may continue. Christmas says that this is the time to say yes to the Jesus who quietly knocked at a stable door and a virgin's womb, and now, in risen power and glory, knocks at the door of your heart and mine. The world needs people who are followers of Jesus. The world needs people who have the peace in his heart which enables us to cope with the uncertainty and the anxieties. Now is the time to say yes to the one who split time in two, the baby of Bethlehem, the healing prophet of Galilee, the innocent victim of Calvary, the conqueror of death and the king of heaven. He is the one who invites you to open the door. Well, what do you want for Christmas? I guess you'll almost certainly get a party at some stage. You'll probably get a present or two, or three, or four. Some of my grandchildren are sitting here taking part, as you've heard, in the service from time to time. No doubt they will have presents lavished upon them. Not that I've been shopping yet, I didn't do it. In the summer of 1969, just before I went to university, I heard the knock on the door of my life, and I said yes to Jesus' invitation to come in. Seems a long time ago, but I remember it as if it was yesterday. And I do not for one moment say that it has been easy, nor do I think that it is always easy for anyone to live up to the standards that Jesus sets us. We will fail. But I reckon it was the best decision I ever made, and not for one minute in all those years have I regretted it. Maybe in the quietness of this service, maybe as we sing our final hymn, Hark the Herald angels sing. Maybe you want to say quietly in your heart, yes, yes, Jesus, I've heard you knocking. I know that there is uncertainty. I know that there is anxiety. I don't know what lies around the corner, but I want to go around that corner with you in my life. Maybe you want to say yes to Jesus this evening. Let's just have a moment of prayer while I sit down. I bring you great news, joyful news, news that is relevant for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Saviour has been born. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all the folk who have gathered here this evening, come with all sorts of cares and joys, all sorts of things to be thankful for and things to be anxious for. I pray for each one of us this Christmas that we will make room for you in our lives and walk with you into the future, whatever it holds. Amen.